have you ever had a moment where you realized that your Christmas tree was too small? Like maybe your extended family was over and you went to put a present under the tree and you're like, there's no room under this tree. Or maybe you just have too many kids, or not too many, you know, you have a lot of kids. sorry, kids in the room. Maybe you have a lot of kids and then, you know, you just couldn't like get all of their presents under the tree. In my household, sometimes we have both going on, you know, because we got four kids to start with, and that's just like a lot. But by the time you get, okay, we're going to give each kid, you know, a couple of presents, but then the grandparents get involved, and grandparents, you know what you do? You like 10X the presents from the parents, right? And they're just like, bleh, you know, for four kids. And by the time you get all that under there, and then Santa has the nerve to add his gifts on top of all that. And like, by the time we're done, like it's like, there's no room at all under the tree. It's why my presents are never under there. Cause you know, I'm always the last one to put them under there. Cause I'm, you know, I'm just thinking so hard about it and so deeply that I just want to make sure it's right. So, you know, by the time we get to my presents to people, it's like, yeah, my present for you. It's like, it's in the cabinet next to the cereal bowls. Cause like, you know, it's, you know, just all the way out. There's no room. There was never any room for my presents underneath the tree. Sometimes there's just not enough room under the tree for Christmas. And if that's you, if that's your Christmas tree, don't worry. It's really on brand for Christmas. It's maybe the most on brand thing that there could possibly be for Christmas, because it turns out the same problem, the same dilemma came up on the very first Christmas night. In fact, this problem was perhaps the central problem of the whole Christmas story. Let me just read it to you. This is how the Christmas story goes. At the time, you maybe heard this read before. Maybe you've read it yourself. At that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus, you know him, Caesar Augustus, decreed that a census should be taken throughout the entire Roman Empire. All returned to their own ancestral towns to register for this census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth, where he lived in Galilee. And he took with him Mary, to whom he was engaged, who is now expecting a child. There's a backstory to that, you know, that any casual reader would be like, what? Yeah. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger. Now, when you hear that, you probably just go right on by it. You're like, yeah, that's the Christmas story. Seen it, movies and books and everything, right? To anybody reading that, not in 2024, that's like a record scratch. It's like, wait, I'm sorry, did you say manger? Wait, you gave birth in a stable? You laid your newborn baby in like a feeding trough where cattle normally? Are you kidding me? That's not normal. Like something clearly went pretty wrong. And Luke's like, oh yeah, the historian Luke who wrote this account, he's like, oh yeah, it's because there was no lodging available for them. That's the problem. See, like this census had disrupted everybody's lives. You had to go back to your hometown to participate in the census. And that means that most people were leaving larger towns or even cities, and they were going back to smaller villages and smaller towns. And it's no different with Mary and Joseph. He has to go back to Bethlehem, the city of David, where he was born. And so this is what you have happening. You have all these people descending on Bethlehem, and their population just exploded overnight. And that's the situation. So here comes, you know, super pregnant Mary. Like, it's coming. Kid's coming. And Joseph, they roll into town and everything's booked. I mean, the hotels, the Airbnbs, the guest suites, you know, like, dude, sorry, the in-laws got it, you know, with their bad hip. We just can't, sorry, you know, like all that's going on. And there's no room at all in Bethlehem for Mary and Joseph. You know, there wasn't hospitals. You gave birth at home normally. And so this is the deal. They're just freaking out. The panic setting in. You know, like, what do we do? What do we do? What do we do? And, you know, Mary's like looking at Joseph. She's like, we have to get a room. We have to get a room. You know, like just like, it's coming. And you can imagine all this is going down. And I'm sure it was out of sheer desperation that at some point somebody just went, Okay. I have a stable down there. Just go down to the stable. You can just have it. We won't even come in. Just go to the stable. And then that's what happens. Mary and Joseph, they roll into Bethlehem, nowhere to stay, baby coming imminently, and they give birth to Jesus in a stable, and they place him in a manger. And you know what's cool? You know, Northside Hospital actually has this brand new Christmas experience. They recreate a barn and it's like live animals and they put hay there. And I'm just kidding. It's a lie. somebody in the room, I saw a couple people going like this. And they're like, babe, we should have done that. Like, that would have been awesome. It's magical. Husband does all the delivery. Yeah. No thanks. But now, you know, you see where I'm going with this. On the first Christmas night, when God's greatest gift to the world was born, there was no room. There was no room, which is kind of ironic, because here at last, on Christmas Day, here at last, was the long-awaited, long-prophesied, long-prayed-for Messiah, the coming king that Isaiah, about 700 years prior, had written so famously about. You know the words of Isaiah, the prophet, most of you. He said this, "For unto us a child is born." It's prophecy. He's like, a child is going to be born one day. And he's speaking as if he's there now, watching it happen through time. He's saying, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government will rest on his shoulders. He's going to be a king. He's going to be in charge. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." And not only do many of us know those words, or, you know, if you heard songs with those words in them, but everybody back then in Jewish culture, they'd memorize those words. They could probably recite it from memory. And here he was, like, after all this time, finally, just like John was saying, it's like, man, it's been so long. And here he finally was, God's Messiah, God's final king, God's savior of the world, born into the world on Christmas Day. And the people of Bethlehem are like, yeah, there's like a motel. You should try that. I don't know. You know, I would let you in, but like, no, I mean, we're booked. You know, it's like, there's just no room for him in Bethlehem. And that's pretty ironic. And as it turns out, it wouldn't be the only place that didn't have enough room. It wasn't just Bethlehem that didn't have room for him. Few others, it turns out, would either. Like, take Nazareth, for example, the town that Jesus would grow up in. Nazareth had no room, didn't have room. There's a little anecdote in the historical account of Jesus where one day, he's grown up now, he's a man, and he's doing miracles. You know, he's like healing people and feeding them food, just like food, and doing all this kind of really crazy stuff for people's good and for their blessing. And it says Jesus actually couldn't do miracles in his own hometown. Why? Because they had no faith. They had absolutely no faith, like no expectation. They had no room in their minds that this boy they saw grow up could possibly meet their needs in a supernatural way. It's like nothing happened in Nazareth. It's like, whoa, no room. Nazareth had no room. Turns out they weren't the only ones either. The religious leaders in the temple in Jerusalem, they didn't have room either. They had no room for Jesus's grace. They had no room for how he loved and hung out with and made friends with and like would eat lunch with and dinner with sinners and tax collectors, people that didn't belong with God, that were like outcasts. They're like, no, you can't do that. You can't have compassion. You can't show grace. They had no room. They got so mad at him. The empire didn't have room either because Rome was in charge, right? You know this time in history. Caesar was king. Caesar was Lord. And the rulers of the empire, they had no room for a rabbi claiming to be a king of a new kingdom. Now the throne was already taken. Thank you very much. And no room. The point is that my Christmas tree and the Christmas story have a lot more in common than we might think. And no room. God's savior, when God's greatest gift was born into the world for the world, there was very little room for him among anyone. And that's my question this morning, if I may. Just one simple question. What about you? What about me? And what about us? Do we have room? It's Christmas time. Do you have room for the Savior born in a manger? Do you have room? Because I know there's lots of things you have to make room for in this season, right? We're all pretty slammed, you know? There's lots of things you have had to make room for, like life, you know, work, or kids, or if you're a college student, your studies and your final exams, or if you're a parent, kids finishing school, and then, like, we had 4 basketball games yesterday, ladies and gentlemen, and, like, just all the busyness of life, and then on top of that, you've got, like, Christmas, and you, like, got the presents and the decorations and the travel if you're going, or the hosting if somebody's coming to you, and it's like, oh my gosh, how do we get it all ready, and how do we make it magical, and how do we make it, like, perfect, and, like, and it's just, like, on and on and on and on, and there's a lot of things that we have to make room for. But the question is simply, like, what about him? What about the one who it's all about? And if you're anything like me, and you were being in any way honest, I bet a lot of us would say the answer is no, I don't have a ton of room at the moment. I bet there's a lot of us that you walked in here and you're like, no, I haven't thought much about God at all in the last couple of weeks. Not like it on purpose, just haven't. Maybe the years, I don't know. Maybe you're like, I don't feel this deep connection to, you know, Jesus right now. I bet a lot of us would say we don't feel a lot of room in this Christmas season for one reason or another. And I do bet it would be for any one of a number of reasons. For some of us, it's simply just because we're so busy, right? We're just so busy. It's just life feels like you're going from A to B to C to D to A to G to L to P, you know, and then bed. And then you're like, you just do it again. And we're just like so consumed and so distracted that there's literally just no physical or mental or emotional or, I mean, shoot, spiritual room for much at all in this season. We don't have room. Others of us, maybe it's because we're so stressed, so anxious. About any number of things, about family or about health or about finances or about work or about what may happen or what may not happen the way you want it to. And you're so stressed. There's just no room for peace. There's just no room for peace this Christmas. There's no room for the Prince of Peace, like Isaiah was talking about. Others of us, maybe it's because we're so discouraged. Maybe it's not something you're afraid is going to happen. It already did. And you've taken some hits. You've taken some L's, some losses. You've gotten enough bad news that there's just no room for good news. There's too much bad news for there to be any room for the good news of great joy for all people that those angels sing about to the shepherds. No way. No room. Or maybe it's something completely different. Maybe you're so determined, you know? Like, you are ambitious and you got a lot going on and you're in control and you're determined in outcomes and you like go, 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 and you just got like a death grip on the steering wheel of your life. And if you were being honest, there's no room. Kind of like the rulers in Jerusalem, you know, there's no room for a king in a manger who's offering to lead the way. And you're like, not now. Just, I don't have room for that right now. Or hey, maybe it's because you're so guilty. Like, nah, stress isn't my thing. Control is not my thing. Maybe you're just so guilty. Maybe it's as simple as this, that you're feeling so guilty that you've been so busy and you've been so stressed that you haven't made time for like the important things. And you're like, man, I haven't made room for God. And you're just like carrying that in with you. Like, I've been a bad mom. I haven't been an attentive dad. I'm not ready. You know, and you're carrying guilt in with you right now. And there's no room in your mind for someone like you, you know, in the Christmas story. Maybe it's bigger than just these couple of weeks. Maybe it's a whole past. Maybe it's a whole year. Maybe it's a whole decade of, like, you know, all those ways that you could list off of ways you've let down somebody or you've let down God. And you're just sure. You're sitting here right now and you're sure there's just no way that God has anything for you this morning. There's no room, like I said, in your mind for someone like you in the Christmas story. Or hey, maybe it's, some people will identify with this one. Maybe it's just that you're so done. Like, you used to go to church or you used to believe this. Maybe you're here just because the family comes and you're like, fine, I'll go. Or you're back in town from college and you're like, I feel like I've been had one foot out the door for like a year, for like 2 years, and nobody knows. But you're like, I just don't know that I have room for this God stuff anymore. There's no room. And by the way, if that's you, it's okay. It's okay. I'm so glad that you're here. You can belong to this family no matter what you believe. I hope you know that. I don't know. I mean, there probably are 100 reasons why we might not have room for Jesus, even on Christmas. But here's what I want you to know. He's inviting you to make some. He's inviting you to make some room. Why? Because here's the deal. He loves you. I don't know how long it's been since somebody reminded you that, but He loves you. He loves you whether you love him or not back. He wants you whether or not you want him. He has a plan for you, whether or not you trust him. He has something to say to you, whether or not you're even listening to him. He is thinking about you, even if you're not thinking about him. He is pursuing you, whether or not you're pursuing him. And you know that because on Christmas morning, he sent his son, Jesus, to be born as a savior unto you. So I don't believe you're here by accident. Even if you're like, man, I'm the last person in the world that God's got something for this Christmas. No, you're not here by accident. I believe you're here because God wanted at least one moment with you this Christmas to get your attention. And if I could put an image in your mind to carry into Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, here it is. You wanna know, sometimes how images help me, you know, cause like you can't see God and like taste, touch, feel God. It's kind of like an idea. Sometimes an image really helps me. Here's what I imagine that God is doing to you right now. That's the image I just wanna give you. I think God just wanted to have a moment with you and with me to be like, hey, you got room? Like maybe think about Mary and Joseph, you know, going through bad land. They're like, hey, in your room. I think that's what God's doing with you this Sunday morning and with me. Hey, do you have room? Will you make room? Or if you're a Jesus follower and you've been, you know, you've known Jesus and been walking, following him for a while, maybe it's, hey, do you have more room? Do you have more room? Because I got more for you. I got more life for you. I've got more peace for you, more healing, more purpose, more growth. I want to do more in you. I want to do more through you. Will you make more room? Will you make more room? That's the image I'd love to give you. If you get nothing else, I hope you wake up Christmas Day and you go like, what'd that guy say? Oh yeah, like the knocking thing. Because I think that's what God's doing. Will you make more room? And I want to give you that image because, man, this is one of the central themes of Christmas season. We sing about it every single year. Did you know that? We sing about making room every single year. It's in one of the most famous Christmas songs. It might be the most famous Christmas song of all time. We already sang it, or at least a version of it today. It's called Joy to the World. And there is a line in this song, and you may remember it. It goes, let every heart, what? Prepare him room. Let every heart. In fact, sing it with me. Let's just sing together. Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing. Yeah, there it is. Prepare him room. Christmas is an invitation to prepare him room. Why? Because unto us on this day, unto you, unto you, unto you, unto me on this day, a savior was born. But the default response, the default posture of the world and the default response and posture of the human heart, both then and still to this day is, sorry, I don't have room. A savior's been born to us, but the default posture and the default response of the human heart was and still is to this day, I don't have room. That's why you have to make it. You have to make it. Every heart must prepare him room. Every heart must prepare him room. And here's the thing. Here's the thing that I wanna maybe excite you with a little bit, bother you with a little bit. Evidently, all he needs is just a foothold. Evidently, all God needs is like just a corner, just like a little corner. I mean, think about it. God brought the savior of the world, the good news, the great joy for all people, from the corner of a stable in little old Bethlehem. And if all God needed to bring the entire Christmas story was just one little corner in the little town of Bethlehem, what do you think he could do with your life? What do you think he could do with you? What do you think he could do with your heart? What do you think he could do with your family? What do you think he could do with your marriage or your work or your pain and suffering and problems? What do you think he could do with your promise and potential in your future? Oh my goodness. What do you think God could do with even just a little part of you? The answer to that question is obviously, I don't know. But here's what I do know. I don't want you to miss it. I don't want you to miss it. You have no idea what hangs in the balance of your decision to prepare him room, even the smallest corner. And I don't want you to miss it. And God doesn't want you to miss it this Christmas. So, I want to close by just giving you some practical ways that you could make room for Jesus at Christmas, starting right now. And I know you might be thinking like, dude, it's too late. Like, it's too late. We're like a couple days of Christmas. No way it's too late. We still got kids stuff to celebrate. We're celebrating Christmas Eve together. And we got Christmas Day. And God has all the grace in the world that you could possibly need. And it's available to you. There is no way it is too late. It is never too late to make room for God in your heart or God in your life. Never too late. So here's what I just want to do. I want to close the last few minutes that I've got. And I just want to give you a couple of ideas of how you can make room. You can make more room for Jesus right now. And so here's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna give you a couple ideas. How about this? Just pick one. Whatever one makes sense to you, just pick it and do it. And you can start right now. So how could you make room? Well, number one, what if you just started here? Like some of us, what we need to do is literally just like physically create some space. Like for some of us, the thing we just need to do is, it's like Bethlehem. There's just like literally no space and you just need to be like, yeek, stable, okay? And you just need to like actually make some room in your life. Your calendar has been slam packed. It has been completely full. You've been running 100 miles per hour, or you've been jumping from one thing to one next thing, next thing, next thing, next thing, next thing. And what you're gonna do in like the next 2 days and starting out, you're just gonna, carve out just a little space. And here's the good news. You've already done it. You're here. It's 11 o'clock on Sunday. Here you are in church. You've already created room. And all I want to suggest is just like keep it going. Jump off this. You're here. Proud of you. Way to go. Proud of me. We're here. You've created some space on a Sunday. So just like tune in. Maybe open the smallest part of your heart to what does God maybe have for you. Let's keep it going. Make a little room. Like the scripture says, just be still and know and remember that he is God and that he came to save you on Christmas. And there's a lot of ways you can do that. Keep it going. Come to Christmas Eve. Celebrate with us. Make space in your little family tradition, your calendar for the message of Jesus on Christmas Eve. Read the Christmas story. It's a great idea on Christmas Eve. Just tell the Christmas story. Maybe talk about what it means to you. Luke 2. That's where you can find it. Luke 2. That's the good one, okay? They're all good. Just that's the one you want to read. I promise. You'll read it and you'll go like, yep, that's the one. It's the one I'm reading to you right now. Luke 2. Go read the Christmas story. But on top of that, what I'd really encourage you to do, if you're like, I just need to physically create some space, is this. Wake up tomorrow morning, 15 minutes early, and pray. You're like, dude, I've been praying forever. That's fine. God's not mad. He just misses you. Wake up tomorrow, 15 minutes early, and just pray to your Heavenly Father. Just pray. Just talk to God. You don't know what to say? That's okay. A lot of us don't know what to say. Let me give you something. Just say, hey God, Father, would you show me my place in the Christmas story? Just pray that. You can pray else, whatever you want. There's no wrong way to pray. But just wake up and pray, God, will you show me my place in the Christmas story? And let him remind you that on Christmas Day, he didn't just send Jesus into the world because he loved, the world. No, he didn't. He sent Jesus because he loved you. You. Because he has a plan for you. Because he wants you. Because you matter to him. You have caught his eye. And let him remind you that. Maybe just pray that. Just wake up 15 minutes early. You can do more if you want, but just like 15 minutes and create some space. By the way, if you're not a Christian, can I give you a prayer to pray this Christmas? I mean, it's Christmas. Why not? Why not? What do you have to lose? If there's nothing there, nothing's going to happen. You won't lose anything. But what if it is? What if Christmas is true? Can I give you a prayer to just create a little bit of space? God, if you're there, show yourself to me. What if you just woke up next couple of days while you're home, or with family, or doing the tradition, whatever role you play and wherever you are, what if you just said, God, if Christmas is true, will you show yourself to me? I'm really confident he'll answer that prayer. I really am. But it's okay if you don't agree. Why not? But maybe some of us need to just do that. We need to just create some space. Others of us, though, we need to do something a little more than that. Others of us need to cast our cares. You need to cast your cares. A lot of us are carrying so much stress and worry, like we're white knuckling it, we're doing it all on our own, and we've been so consumed with it, we haven't thought yet about giving it to God. Like it hasn't occurred to you to give it to God. And it's crowding out the good news of Christmas. And I just want to say, what if you today and tomorrow and the next day, what if you did what the Apostle Peter told us to do and you just cast your cares on the Lord? He says, because he cares for you. You need to cast your cares on the Savior born at Christmas time who came to meet your needs. Don't be like Nazareth that couldn't experience all that Jesus wanted to do for them because they had no room for him and all of their cares and their situations and their circumstances. No, go cast your cares on the Lord because he cares for you. I hope you haven't forgotten that. He cares for you. And God is inviting you to do that. He's saying, hey, in the same way that trouble's been thrown on you, cast on you, the way that anxiety and fear and complicated stuff and stuff you don't know how to handle and all this stuff has been thrown on you, you go and throw it on me. Throw it on me. And let me take responsibility for you. Let me care for you so that you can have peace. Cast your cares, and in so doing, you will make room for the Prince of Peace. That's the point. And I want to encourage you to do that. Cast your cares on the Lord, even if what you're casting feels heavy, even if it just feels like utter darkness, even if what you're casting on the Lord requires a miracle, I dare you, please go cast your cares on the miracle worker born on Christmas Day. Dare to believe that the light of the world could light up your darkness this Christmas season. Cast your cares on the Lord. Make room for him to do what only he can do. Others of us, though, maybe it's not that. Maybe it's you need to, you know what you need to do to make room this Christmas? You need to receive some grace, my friend. You need to receive some grace. You are just holding on to all the things. You know that list of things? We've all carry it. I carry it all the time. That list of things, all the things you've done wrong, all the ways you've let down people, all the ways you're not good enough, you don't have what it takes, all the ways people don't appreciate you, and you're not what you should be, and all the ways you've let down God and the reasons he may have for being, you know, mad at you or whatever. And I want to just invite you. You're carrying around like all the guilt and shame of this season, or some of you the last several seasons, or some of you the last decade. And here's what's silly about that. You're not silly, but this is silly. Once I say it, you're gonna go, yeah, that is kind of silly. You know what? You know, this is what's silly. Your guilt and shame is keeping you away from the baby born to take away your guilt and shame. Your guilt and shame is keeping you away from the Savior who was born on Christmas Day to forgive your sins and take away your guilt and shame. Isn't that silly? It's silly. Stop carrying it. I want you to take that list. I want to take whatever it is you carried in here today. I want to implore you, encourage you to bring it to him. Like the scripture says, like John says, the apostle John, he says, hey, confess your sins. When we confess our sins, he is faithful every single time to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's what God's going to do every single time. What if you brought your guilt and your shame to him and you received his grace? You made room for his grace. Maybe that's what you need to do. Receive grace. Make room for the Savior who died for your sins to take away your guilt and shame. Why not? It's the good news of Christmas. Or, hey, finally, here's the last one. This is the hardest one. But it is the central invitation of Christmas, to be honest with you. All of us are invited to surrender to our King. Remember I talked about those rulers of the empire had no room for a king? Well, most of us don't either. But the central invitation of Christmas is to surrender to our King. You know, maybe your hands are so tightly gripped around your life and its course and the decisions you're making and where you're going. Or maybe it's not your whole life, maybe it's a part of your life, a decision you're making, a relationship you have, a habit you got, something that God's calling you to, but you're just like holding on. You're like, no, my kingdom come, my kingdom come, my kingdom come, and my will be done. And you need to, you know what you need to do is make room for the King born in a manger at Christmas time and go, nah. You need to do what the wise men did. Those three kings that came, you know, in the story, they recognized him for who he was. They bowed down and they recognized, no, your kingdom come and your will be done. Your king, we're not, you're in charge. We're not, your kingdom come. Your will be done in my life as it is in heaven. I just want to do what you want me to do. I just want to go where you want me to go. I just want to be who you want me to be. Maybe that's what you need to do. I don't know which of those four resonated with you, but let's prepare him room. Let's prepare him room. Let's prepare him room. Four, as the angel said to the shepherds in the field, unto you on this day in the town of Bethlehem, in the city of David, has been born a Savior, and he is Christ the Lord. And it is good news of great joy for every single one of you. The only question is, will we make him room? Will we make him room? And don't forget, all he needs is a little. all he needs is just a corner. And if he did Christmas from the corner of a stable in Bethlehem, what could he do with you? What could he do with you?